Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Coming up November 9th on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, we'll discuss the modern epidemic of burnout. Once you get there, it may seem there's no way out, but expert Steve McClatchy specializes in the art of reversing burnout. He's a guest lecturer at Harvard and Wharton and is the president of a Fortune 500 consulting firm and a featured expert with the Wall Street Journal Investors Business Daily, Fast Company, Men's Health, Success Magazine, and others. Join us every Monday at noon right here on Alternative Talk 1150 and listen to archive shows at conversationslive.net.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk. Welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio. You can tune us in on the internet to stream live if you've got internet access. And that means you can share us with family and friends around the country, around the world. And the best way to pick up the stream is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website and bring up the links that you need to stream the show. You will also be able to hear the show again in the audio archives at marthanorwalk.com. There's a link at the bottom of the homepage, and the show should be up sometime later today. Now, you can also find Animal World on Facebook these days. Look for Martha Norwalk's Animal World. Give us a like if you haven't already. Appreciate that. And keep posted, because I'm like posting everything on that Facebook page if I can figure out how to do it. And I'm getting better at that all the time. And so a lot of great stuff there to check out. Now, As we get into the show later, we are going to do a Missing Link giveaway, and we hopefully, like in the last hour of the show, have time for some questions from you. So jot down the phone numbers, local number 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 1-888-298-5569. And you can shoot us an email anytime during the show. And if there's something going on in the show and you've got some input or a question about exactly what we're talking about, you can always shoot us an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com. animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And then just to let you know, if you need to mail something to Animal World, the Animal World mailing address is 19916 Old Owen Road, number 251, 19916 Old Owen Road, number 251, and that's Monroe, Washington, 98272. If you want more about today's programming, our guest is Susan Usha Dermond. That's D-E-R-M-O-N-D. Her book is Calm and Compassionate Children, a Handbook. That's available on Amazon and all the normal places. And the book that J. Donald Walters / Swamiji Kriyananda wrote about the concept and with the new Living Wisdom Schools and the concepts that anyone can use to incorporate into their educational system. The book is called Education for Life. And the website that has all the information about the online classes for parents and teachers and homeschoolers and all that good stuff is edforlife.org, edforlife.org, edforlife.org. All right, so I have got in the studio with me, Usha Dermond is here, and good morning again, Usha.
Good morning.
And Kathy Southwick is also in the studio because she is a parent and a grandma, although she doesn't look like a grandma.
Not at all.
Wow.
Yeah. But obviously a very passionate mom and grandma, cares about her kids and did a lot of enlightening stuff with her children in terms of raising. She's been talking about it, but she's also got some really great questions. I keep having to stuff a sock in her and say, wait a minute, because everybody else is going to want to know that too. So wait till we get back on the air.
Oh.
And because it's a fascinating subject. So we have been talking about the Living Wisdom Schools and kind of the philosophy, the curriculum, and so forth, and what happens at the levels. And so we're ready to go into the grade school level. So Usha, give us an idea of what, you know, I mean, is it in separated into grades like a traditional school, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, or is it different?
It's roughly, yes.
Okay.
And that, you know, we expect most children will have 12 years of schooling after kindergarten.
Okay.
But of course, as most good schools now do, we address where the child is, start where they are. And we really like having mixed classes, multi-age classes, which is actually a common philosophy now in education. It seems that when you put two grades together and the students know they're at different grades and not supposed to be doing the same things, then they don't compare with each other so much. Even within a grade, they don't. They just sort of start to accept that different people are in different places in math or reading or PE or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we really like the two grades together, and so often we'll have a first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth combination. So when the students become 6 years old, we consider that they are passing out of the physical years, where so much of their learning is through the body, and they're just learning to control their bodies and do all those little things that we take for granted, like tying your shoes and being able to balance and jump on one foot and all those things. And, you know, the stage of putting everything in your mouth to experience it because you're
yes.
so physical. And they're moving into the feeling years, where they are learning more about their own emotions, their experience in emotions. And if they're guided, they will learn about what those emotions are, and the fact that some emotions you can actually choose to have or not to have based on your mental attitudes.
Wow.
And in the feeling years, the heart is just wide open and absorbs everything, all the nuances in the environment of emotion. So that's why many children these ages whose parents might be going through marital problems, even if they never expose that or argue in front of the children
feel it.
They sense it. They can't articulate it, but they do feel it. It's a reason that we have ratings for movies and for media, because children who go to a violent show in those ages just take it right in. And so they, what happens, some parents say, oh, it doesn't bother my child. Well, that's because the child's starting to close their heart against it to be
mm-hmm.
safe.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore, they are not going to experience sensitivity to others as much as we would like.
Yeah.
So those years, it's very, very precious time. Because these children are so motivated by feeling. So stories of heroes and heroines and reading lots of children's books with uplifting characters. And, oh, there's so many out there. I just recently read one called Wonder, which has been written recently, which so graphically shows how a junior high kid who's different from all the rest feels when he's excluded, bullied, and how just the friendship of one person means so much, and also how hard it is for that friend. So it's just a wonderful book in expanding their consciousness of the awareness of feelings of others.
What was the name of that book again?
Wonder.
Wonder.
It has been on the bestseller list.
That reminds me, when I think of my grade school years, the one thing that was most powerful for me on a feeling level was how painful it was to watch one particular child through all those grades be harassed and bullied and teased by everyone else. And I can remember standing, you know, way back in the background and watching this and feeling the pain in my heart
mm-hmm.
and wanting it to stop, but not being brave enough to do anything about it.
Yes.
And that, you know, and of all of that, all these years later, that's what I really remember. And but it sounds that there's no opportunity for something like that. You know, of course, it was a very large school and mm-hmm. lots of kids, but, mm-hmm. you know, it went on consistently, but there was no one, and it would happen at recess, it would happen before school and after school and all of that, but there were no adults to step in or do anything about it.
Right.
It was really
there
sad.
Was a lack of awareness for one
yeah.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also it's difficult to deal with because up until recent years everyone thought that the solution was to deal with the bad people, quote unquote. Those on the right listening don't know I'm using quotes around that. The kids who are doing the bullying are of course hurt kids, or there's something they're not well adjusted.
Right.
There's
right.
some sort of problem. And force doesn't help anything because when you just start a lot of punishments on them, the bullying stops in the classroom in front of the teacher, but then it just goes underground.
Right.
And so more and more we're understanding that we need to work with both the kids who are bullying and those who are bullied and teach those who are bullied how to use their words and to project their energy and aura out. When something happens, just nip it in the bud when you're very first teased, to be mm-hmm. able to turn and say, hey, I don't like it when you call me that.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it. Because if you notice, it's often the same kid year after year after year. And I'm not talking about the kids with physical or mental or differences, but I'm talking about just an average kid who might mm-hmm. be bullied. Part of the reason is they don't have the confidence or it just hasn't mm-hmm. been modeled to them how to stand mm-hmm. up to it. So you have to work with both.
Wonderful.
But even in our schools with the sweet children we have from the sweet families we have, these things are just human nature. They happen. And the secret is to treat it on the part of the bullies. And I don't want to say bullies, teasers. Let's say teasers.
Teasers, yeah.
Because they start just teasing mm-hmm. and then it escalates.
Mm-hmm.
To help them understand that they're making a mistake and it's just a mistake. And how that can be changed, and then work with the person who's receiving it as well. I don't want to go too far into that because it's not really the subject this morning. But
it is interesting too. And I remember, you know, I mean, children learn by example and so forth. And I know my father was a big teaser, you know, and his whole family was a big teaser, and so he mm-hmm. teased all the time. And I can remember as a child that it wasn't always fun, and a lot of times it was very hurtful. But yet again, I developed the habit of teasing myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we kind of, without someone helping you put it into perspective and structure, you don't get it. You just become
mm-hmm.
The example that's set before you. So it's really wonderful that everybody's paying attention to that at that level.
And, you know, even teachers and parents can unwittingly feed into this sense of superiority of some mm-hmm. students over others. by the way they treat the students who are maybe not as attentive or not as easy to, quote, control, unquote. And, you know, it doesn't take much. I mean, back when I was in school, teachers were actually sarcastic and mean towards students. Well, that, you don't see that much anymore. They'd be fired. But, you know, just a simple roll of the eyeballs or just the tone of voice when you correct someone. And correcting a same child day after day and never finding anything positive to say to them, the other kids hear that.
Well, and as you say, in that grade school level, that's the feeling time.
Yes.
So even if you don't say it or whatever, the kids can feel it.
So we bring feeling even into academic subjects where you'd say, well, how can you teach, for example, math using feeling? And so I had a first, second grade teacher at the Portland school who would bring in puppets when she was teaching fractions.
Oh.
And so she'd have little four puppets on her hands, or five little hand
little finger
puppets.
Yeah.
And she'd say, okay, what fraction of the puppets have black hair? And everybody is going to sit right up to look at the puppets, you know, whereas a bunch of numbers on the board, what does that mean?
Right, you know? Right. How great.
Yeah.
So I know, Kathy, you brought up some questions earlier that I think are appropriate. Now, if you remember what they were, but because I was going to go with kind of what does a typical days and you know in this grade school level what is done, and you had something along those lines.
Well, I do have one question, and what is involved in regards to the parents coming in and helping out in the classrooms? Is that something
Well, of course,
that happens?
Oh,
you have
yes,
a lot of parent
of course.
Involvement.
Oh yes, the more parent involvement, the better the school, I think.
Right.
So we welcome that. Some parents love to come in and share something with the children, an art project or whatever. Other parents feel more comfortable just doing volunteer work in the school, maybe helping in the office or the library, because when you're there on the scene, you see what's happening in the school. Even if you're not in the classroom, you see a lot going on. And the more parents understand about what we're doing, the better. So, yes.
Well, they could take that information and use it in the home as well.
Yes. In fact, yeah, I just recently heard a teacher say with a parent who was just asking a lot of questions, some of them very pointed, that made another teacher feel like, well, are they implying I'm not doing these things with these questions? And the teacher from the year before said, oh, just let that parent come in your classroom because they need to learn more parenting skills by watching you. So I thought that was really interesting and true. But, you know, every school that uses Education for Life could be different because it just depends on the needs of that community. So you think about what
that's
a school
really
would look like here versus one in India with that population or versus one in right now we have schools in two countries in Europe. And so the needs and the abilities of the parents to participate differ. So it's more about the core philosophy of the essential spirituality or soul or talent or light, whatever you want to call it, within each child. And that all we have to do is help them discover that and help them channel their energy, working on a very much an energetic level.
Well,
as you know, this philosophy comes from yogic philosophy, ancient Vedic philosophy, and the belief in that is that consciousness produces energy. Energy produces the physical form. And that's been for thousands of years before scientists knew that the body's really all space. There's very little matter involved. It's just energy keeping us, you know, spinning, keeping the molecules or the atoms or the actual practically nothing that's there spinning in a certain form. So it's like looking at a moving fan. We think it's solid. So there's energy behind all form. And when we can work more on an energetic level, the more effective it is, the quicker it may happen, and the more sensitive we become.
Well, it sounds like, because sometimes with schools that I want to use the word that, like, that franchise out and you know, end up all over the place, that often there would be rigid curriculums written that,
yes,
that must be adhered to, you know, X, Y, and Z and at certain levels and so forth. But it sounds like that perhaps with the Living Wisdom schools that there's not a rigid curriculum. There's more the philosophy and where you're focusing on what you're doing at each levels, but there's a lot of intuition involved in terms of what works for that community and that culture or wherever it is. And all is that kind of
that's true
a true thing.
That's very true. For example, our school in Palo Alto is particularly strong in the arts, drama, and our school in Portland particularly strong in nature and mm-hmm. environmental.
Uh-huh.
Although we do all of that everywhere,
right.
But thinking of it more broadly, and I'm glad you brought that up. There wouldn't be a rigid standard curriculum. A lot would depend on the society around where these students are coming from. In other words, if students in that society commonly read by 6 years old, that would be an important thing because students do come and go. But in another society, it might be 8 years old. But what is important is the deeper meaning behind the curriculum. So our curriculum's divided in 6 parts. And they aren't. Some of them are very similar to things that would be very familiar to you, but some might be a little different. So instead of language arts, there's another name. Instead of the sciences, there's another name. So our 6 curriculum areas are our Earth, our universe, and that would be what we would traditionally think of as the sciences. How does it work on a physical plane, this Earth and this universe that we see? But the deepest meaning or the deepest purpose behind studying that is to awaken reverence and awe at the natural world and all of creation.
Mm.
And then understanding people as another curriculum area. And so in that, we would place what we might think of as social studies, such as geography and history and political science, but also foreign language is placed there. Because when we learn to speak a foreign language, part of that is understanding and learning the culture and understanding the people in which this language arose. Then the third is self-expression and communication. So that would be partly what we've thought of as language arts. So writing, but also producing art, producing dance, producing drama, expressing the self, and communicating with others. And then there's... 2 that you wouldn't ordinarily hear about as actual big pieces of the curriculum, and 1 is cooperation.
Ooh.
So there's not only cooperation learned and taught through all the other subjects. For example, if you put on a play, that involves tremendous cooperation among students. They learn a lot. Or if we host an open house and the students serve and talk to parents, you know, they learn a lot. But also specifically activities that are created to help them learn cooperation. And more importantly than that, actually, is when things happen in the classroom where cooperation is either very successful or not, to reflect on that and talk about it with the students.
Hmm.
And then the 5th is personal development. And I know this one is physical, mental, and spiritual. So it can involve things as simple and basic as physical development, learning to tie your shoes, learning to hold a pencil, learning all those physical skills, even at a higher level, maybe bicycle maintenance or, you know, all those practical life skills that are physical, but also mental. What mental attitudes help us in life? What kind of thoughts create a happier life or a more magnetic life? And concentration. Can we actually develop concentration? Are we born with it? And then spiritual. This is where the meditation, the mindfulness, all those practices of self-knowledge and self-control come in.
And it sounds like a foundation for, like, you know, because the meditation popped out at me, starts like even in the preschool. You're not doing a formal meditation with those children, but you said that you start for a short periods of time of just sitting in the stillness and maybe playing good, wonderful music or
yes.
whatever, but that is certainly laying the groundwork for stilling the mind and being able to meditate on down the line.
And the understanding that it's okay to be silent with your peers. You know,
yeah.
you don't have to be constantly filling up with noisy chatter.
How
and then
wonderful.
Finally, the 6th curriculum area is wholeness.
Wholeness.
And that's unusual because wholeness is a lot of things that you wouldn't ordinarily think of maybe together. I sort of think of it as those studies that give meaning to life or attempts to understand the meaning of life. So it's a study of religion as opposed to practicing something like prayer or meditation, the study of religions, also the study of literature, which is a way that we give and add meaning to lives, and the appreciation of art, appreciation of music, as opposed to the creation of it, which is more self-expression.
Wow.
It sounds like this, all of this opens up for more curious little individuals in life.
That's exactly what we hope.
Yeah.
One of our aims.
It's so great to be a sponge, you know, to have that in your mind or your personality, to be curious about everything.
Yeah.
Well, and it sounds like you really set up the foundation for that. I really love it.
Oh, great.
And, you know, instead of hearing those six principles that the curriculum is based on and how it fits into all of that, it just, well, to quote Jude and Paul, it resonates so much better for me. It feels so much better than just seeing reading, writing, arithmetic, biology.
And it's,
it just feels good. But at any rate, it feels so good that we're behind schedule here. So we need to get back on schedule and take care of our advertisers and sponsors. And then let's continue with thinking about, Kathy, what else do we want to know about the grade school level? So then we'll move on. Does that sound good? Okay. Stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead. The Living Wisdom Schools and Usha Derman is my guest. Calm and Compassionate Children, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
On Friday, Manson Mitchell welcomed back Pam Owsley, intuitive extraordinaire who sees auras and explains what the colors mean.
On Saturday, psychic bystander Louisa Oakley Green returns with her latest book of great stories about people's experiences with the highly strange.
Then stay tuned to Eileen Grimes, host of Jupiter Rising in the second hour.
Bringing you fascinating talk since 2007, we are Manson Mitchell, Friday and Saturday mornings at 10 on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Dr. Doug Yearout, holistic veterinarian, has relocated his office. The All Animal Alternative Medicine Clinic is now at 1059 State Avenue, Suite E in Marysville. Dr. Doug has practiced holistic and naturopathic veterinary medicine for 35 years in the Lake Stevens area. He offers animal chiropractic, homeopathy, Western and Eastern herbal medicine, proper nutritional advice, class 4 medical laser therapy, and other energy healing methods. He treats almost everything dressed in an animal suit, including companion animals, dogs and cats, birds, rabbits, reptiles, ferrets, and other strange, rare, and peculiar exotic pets, including wildlife. The All Animal Alternative Medicine Clinic is open by appointment Monday through Friday. Call today, 360-653-8171.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Radio for your body, mind, and spirit. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, have we got that covered today or what? Yeah, body, mind, and spirit, we do. Hey, I'm Martha Norwalk. Thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. We're addressing the human animal and our children today with the Living Wisdom Schools. But I wanted to remind you, you heard about the NuPro supplements, great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. Check them out, www.nuprosupplements.com. And then, hey, do you need a holistic and natural veterinarian? Well, I think the best one on the planet is Dr. Doug Yearout. He is now down the street from Dr. Bill, and he's at the All Animals Alternative Medicine Clinic, and he truly treats all animals, including wildlife. And he absolutely is, it's rare to find someone so dedicated to helping you heal your animals. He is the veterinary expert on homeopathy. He does chiropractic. He's got the Class 4 laser, which can be used for all kinds of things. And you can reach him at 360-653-8171, 360-653-8171. And, woohoo, both Dr. Doug and Dr. Bill will be in the studio with me for our next Vet Sunday, and that's 2 weeks from today, November 15th. Then we also talked about Whispering Dragon and, again, our Acutonics Harmonic Energy Shifters, Jude and Paul. They won't be back in the studio until the third Sunday of December, but you can go have a harmonic energetic shifting session with them, chiropractics with Jude. They also do acutonics and acupuncture. Their office is in the Greenwood area of Seattle. Check it out, www.whispering-dragon.com, and give them a call. 206-706-2836. And remember, they work remotely as well as in person. All righty then. Let's get back to the Living Wisdom Schools. And I'm just so thrilled to hear all about this. And I think we've covered the grade school level. Kathy, did you think of anything that you want to talk about or ask about at the grade school level?
I actually would like to know a little bit more about the certification and education of your teachers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good question.
Well, they're so, again, just as we don't expect all students to take the same path, all of our teachers don't take the same path either. It just varies a lot from school to school and from individual to individual. So, but one thing that all of the schools share in common is the belief that teachers do need an apprenticeship. And so in most places they assist in the classroom or they're an aide for a year before they can be a teacher. And so some of our teachers come for a regular teacher training and who are certified to teach in public schools, quite a few actually, and come to our school because they want more meaning and they want a place where they can use more of their creativity and have a lot less meaningless testing and a lot more meaning in the classroom. And then some of our teachers are just young people who get an interest in this in college and then take our courses, which we have, as I mentioned, we've had year-long teacher training, but currently we're doing the online training, and then they're doing training at a school. at the same time. And then, but you cannot be a you cannot get a certification that says you're a master teacher in education for life until you've actually taught for 3 years. And the director of that school judges that you do understand and are using the principles.
And then again, we could go to that website, edforlife.org, to find out more
yes,
if people are interested in becoming a teacher for
yes,
the Education for
mm-hmm.
Life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and if
great.
They go to the contact page and write that write to that email, I would get it. Several people get it.
Okay.
And usually I reply to new people.
All right. So that's one way to get a hold of Usha, if you a personal contact. Now, do grade school children in public schools and so forth, do they go through any kind of regimented testing at that level?
Oh, my goodness, yes. You know, it's made the news recently that Obama is saying he wants less than 5% of the, believe, I could be wrong, but I think it was 5% of the instructional time spent on testing. 5%? That, do you know how much 5% is?
How many hours?
I don't know, but a day is, a minimal day would be 6 hours. So 5% of a day is 30 minutes. Think about that. That's a lot of testing. And when you add it all up together and have these day-long standardized tests, it's no wonder that...
So there are standardized tests that must be done in grade school?
Oh, yes.
All right. And I would assume that means that the Living Wisdom School students need to take those tests?
Well, we don't fall under the same strictures. Most of our schools in the upper elementary grades, or I don't even want to say most because I'm not sure that some of our schools, American schools, do start doing standardized testing fifth or sixth grade for two reasons. One, to give the students practice and understanding of it and to help them cope with it so that if they don't continue with us in middle school, they'll know how to handle that. But because it's a certain skill in taking a standardized test. And secondly, so we can see where are we strong? Where do we need any work in a particular area? Are students getting everything we need? And of course, always our students are in the upper percentiles.
That's what I was wondering. Do we have any information as to how to the Living Wisdom School children compare test wise to public school or other private?
Oh, yes. It's always in the higher percentiles, like in the 90s or above, usually.
Now, isn't that interesting? Because the focus is not on the drill, the normal classroom structure. This is such an open curriculum, and yet the students perform in the highest percentile on the standardized testing.
Yes, they learn how to learn. And we introduce things. We're very much proponents of, as I said, we work on an energy level. So we realize that you have to get the students receptive before you give them anything. You just can't all sit down in rows, be quiet, and listen up. Well, some kids are listening. Some kids are dying to move. Some are fidgeting. Some are still thinking about the fight their parents had that morning.
Mm-hmm.
Some are hungry. I mean, even kids from middle-class homes who are taken care of can come to school hungry because they just refuse to eat. And so you have to... You have to address all of those things. And when you do, and when you make sure the kids are they feel safe in the environment, safe meaning no one's going to tease me or make fun of me. If I make a mistake, no one's going to laugh at me. If I laugh myself, they'll laugh with me. Then they can learn. And so you wait for those teachable moments, or you create them by managing the energy in the room. And you don't need as much drill and repetition.
Mm. Oh, wonderful. Now, then when we move beyond the grade school levels, mm-hmm. which to me is like kind of 1 through 6 sort of grade level,
mm-hmm.
and we know now that the Living Wisdom Schools sometimes combine like 1 and 2, 3 and 4, 4 and 5, and that the mixed age groups seem to be very positive for the children. Do Living Wisdom Schools have what, in my time, it would be junior high? I think it's called middle school now. Is there a middle school level?
Yes. And we consider students when, and all of this is rough depending on the child's own personal development because kids mature at different rates. But roughly the ages from, so 6 through 11 is the feeling years, and 12 through 18 is what we call the will years. Well, anybody who's raised a teenager knows what I mean by will years. And they really, these kids, they're learning who they are. They're trying to express themselves out in the world. They want to use their willpower. They need to develop their willpower to become adults. And if they're not given positive ways to use their will, then they'll just use it in rebelling and negativity.
And the 6 through 11 was the feeling years. Mm-hmm. What are the will years again?
12 through 18.
12 through 17.
12
through
18.
17, mm-hmm. Okay. The will years. Isn't that the truth? And then before that, prior to 6, we were in the physical?
Physical,
mm-hmm. Okay.
So in these years, we try to provide, we were just talking during the break, Kathy and I, about field trips.
Ah.
And so a lot of field trips and opportunities for them to act out in the world so they can use their will and be challenged a little bit and to find things that they are interested in that suit their temperament. So it might be saving the rainforest. It might be cleaning up the polluted river. It might be working at the animal shelter. It might be several years we've had students go to Mexico and spend a week in an orphanage there working with the kids.
Mm.
We've had them go to Baja and work with the large turtles that come there to lay eggs. We've had them go to rescue a Utah place that rescues, I don't remember if they're zoo animals or what it is there that they helped with. But finding ways that they can actually have a positive use of will and experience their power and understand what their power is for positive acts in the world.
Now, of course,
the academics right along with all of that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, I didn't hear everything the two of you were talking about, but I was sort of eavesdropping, and I caught wind of something, Usha, you were talking about. I think it was a junior high or middle school boy in Portland, and that, and I don't know if it was a field trip type thing, but...
I know what you heard.
Yeah.
There was a field trip. They were studying American history, and they... Actually, we had a very small class, and so they were able to raise the money to go to Washington, D.C. for their field trip. So to go to the Smithsonian and all the great museums and the wonderful things they could learn about history in Washington. But, of course, we're a school about developing the whole person. And so one of the skills that the teacher saw a great opportunity for them was the social skill and the expansiveness. We're all about expanding your reality. To meet people while they were there. So they were using public transportation, buses, trains.
Mm.
And so their assignment was each day they had to choose someone on a bus or train to sit by and introduce themselves to.
Wow.
And to, especially someone who looked different, who they felt like they might not meet at home.
And that just brings tears to my eyes.
Isn't it wonderful?
Oh.
And so they learned so much. They were so amazed that almost... most of the people they met were not native Washingtonians. They met people from all over the world. And best of all, they learned that they can just go up and strike up a conversation and show their interest and expand their world. So
but how difficult
wonderful.
That could be for a child at that age and to learn that skill. What a gift.
It was their assignment. And at the end of each day, they had to all each share who they met.
Wow. Yeah.
Isn't that great?
That's fabulous.
Yes.
Fabulous.
So that might be very... too much for a child in the feeling years, but for these kids, that challenge and that willpower is a great time to introduce such an activity.
So the middle school years at the Living Wisdom School go from like 12 to what age?
Well, I think we pretty much call everything the same as they're called in public schools. There's middle school, there's high school.
So there's like 7th grade, 8th grade,
mm-hmm.
9th
so
grade.
So that students don't feel like they're completely isolated and in some sort of a strange school, you know, from their friends who go to other schools. Yeah,
and so in that time frame, in that middle school, it really is the will years, so all of that's going on. And then I think you mentioned earlier in the school, there's now a high school level with Living Wisdom School.
Yes. And after high school, really, is when the intellectual, at age 18, is when the intellectual years start. So just think about the college students who love to sit around and debate and talk about deep thoughts point that we get, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, are they ever going to quit talking about it and get into the world of action, you know? But it's that time for them. And interestingly enough, when this book was written, Education for Life, in 86, there wasn't a lot out there like there is today saying the brain does not actually finish its development until age 24. That wasn't commonly thought about in the 80s, but it's the truth, and we now know that the frontal lobe development and the seat of reason is not completely developed till age 24, which is a reason for so many hasty, rash acts that young people do, and the reason we should have, in my opinion, a juvenile justice system, which is a little different than the adult.
All right. So we've got the high school level, what is not that much different than the middle school or junior high level. It's just a continuation of.
Well, it's going to be different in that the subjects will be more challenging. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And
but still lots of opportunities to get out of the school building and learn in more practical, hands-on ways.
And I'm sure that I can't remember if this was something that came up during our last interview. I don't think so. I think this was, I was talking to another Ananda member recently at the community, and she and her husband have recently come up here from either Portland or Ananda Village. I don't remember which. But, you know, Sue and Matt. Stickney. Anyway, Sue, I think it was Sue that was talking about it. And she was saying that there were some students, high school students at Ananda Village, that, you know, announced to their parents that they wanted to switch and go to public school. And so they weren't argued with. They were allowed to switch and go out to public school. And I think Sue was saying that, it didn't take very long before they were back saying, we want back in the Living Wisdom School, because they just...
Well, some come back and some don't, because it's appropriate for some students at that time. Really outgoing, social, vivacious people, they really love that larger venue, that community. Mm-hmm. It's not for every student. Some of them go to a charter high school, some of them homeschool, some of them come back. It just varies, because just like we don't think there's one religion for everybody, there's not one school experience that suits everybody.
All right. Let's go ahead and take care of our advertisers and sponsors for the last time in this hour. And then I want to come back and discuss the specific Living Wisdom School here in our local area. It's in the Shoreline area, because we do have one, and cover what levels are there at that level here locally. And then we can kind of branch out and cover the bases on all the others and so forth, and eventually we can open the phone line. So stay right where you are. We're going to talk about our local Living Wisdom School next, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets. Check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage's exciting new Vashon Island location. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including T-Touch, aromatherapy, and manual ligament therapy, plus massage for canines and small and large animal certification. Visit online at nwsam.com for registration details and to enroll online. For more information, call 877-836-3703. That's 877-836-3703. Or check out the Northwest School of Animal Massage on Facebook. Attention pet lovers. We all want the best for our pets, and that includes quality of life, longevity, and overall well-being. Raymakers Nutrition has developed a line of patented products that have been shown to dramatically improve immune function, improve response to vaccines by over 400%, and help strengthen the systems in the body that fight cancer cells. Introducing Veterinary Immune Tabs. These chewable tabs are safe for dogs and cats. Find out more about how Veterinary Immune Tabs can improve your pet's longevity and state of wellness. Contact Dr. Bill Burlingame at BillBurlingameDVM@gmail.com or call 425-903-1913.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Conscious Living for Conscious People. Alternative Talk 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are winding down the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World, but another full hour to go when we close out this hour on our subject addressing the human animal, and particularly the children of our planet and the Living Wisdom Schools. But I wanted to remind you that you did hear about the Northwest School of Animal Massage. And speaking about careers with animals, this is a great place to start. Their beautiful campus is on Vashon Island, but they also do distance learning online and have campuses around the world now. So check them out, www.nwsam.com. And you heard again about Dr. Bill Burlingame and Burlingame Veterinary Consulting. He's my animal's personal vet. I think he is the best and a wonderful balance between traditional and holistic, and he is so open and constantly learning and educating himself. But he is the expert on immune support for our animal friends. And there are the immune chews that work for small dogs and cats, the transfer factor, which is what I have all my cats eating, and I feed raw food. So I just mix the powder into their food, and boy, they're eating it and liking it. It's just great. I feel so much better about my cat's health and their immune systems now that they're getting transfer factor all the time. And my Robbie Golden gets his immune chews and or his immune tabs. And there is a green version, which is for kind of normal dogs. There is a red version for those that need intense immune support. And if you know anyone with dogs that have cancer, you got to tell them about the immune tabs because they're shrinking tumors with this. It is so good with the transfer factors, with the medicinal mushrooms, and with all the other wonderful stuff. So if you want to learn more about it, you can give Dr. Bill a call. 425-903-1913, or shoot him an email, BillBurlingameDVM@gmail.com. All righty then, let's get back to our subject here, and we're at the Living Wisdom Schools, and we were talking about, middle school into high school, and do we have any college levels yet at Living Wisdom School? I didn't ask that question.
Yes, but we don't have a certified college yet. So we have, it's more like a institute.
Okay. Is
like
that
graduate
down at
learning?
The Ananda Village
yes.
at Nevada
uh-huh.
City?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
And then, Kathy, you had some questions about what student teacher, numbers of students.
Yeah,
what were you talking about?
I was trying to visualize how large your school was and was wondering about, for the elementary grades, how
uh-huh.
many kids do you...
Well,
educate.
And
then the junior high through high school.
Potentially, we could, we could go up to hundreds, but right now our schools usually vary between like 45 to 65 students is the average, which makes it very much like a family. We recently had at our Shoreline School an all school assembly. We called it. All school circle is what we called it.
Oh.
And because we just have 40 something students, we were able to all get in our large library, sit on the floor in a huge circle. So the kids were actually looking at each other. So you had 50 preschoolers looking across at those great big 13-year-old boys, a couple of whom looked like men, And I thought we would have to do some things to calm the kids down. They just came in and sat there in awe, looking at the big kids, and because they're so influenced by the older kids. And each class did something. So the older class did a prayer, /poem on peace. And then first and second grade led us into yoga postures, and other classes led us in songs. And Native American chant was the first grade. So it was just,
So you actually, they actually get learning and yoga postures and so forth at
and
the school.
And meditation, yes.
Yoga and meditation. Mm-hmm. How exciting is that? And then you had a question of student-teacher ratios, didn't you, Kathy?
Yes. Well, we're very proud of that because we feel that to work on this kind of a level where you really know each student and their needs and what works for them and what their strengths are. I would say our average is about 1 to 10. But it can be as small as 1 to 6, up to, when we get more than 14 students, we would have another adult in the room, if we even did that. If maybe 16, we'd go ahead and divide it into two classes. So 1 to 12 is ideal. That's what we think of as the ideal student-teacher ratio for elementary school. A little bit larger for middle, and, of course, smaller for preschool.
Sounds like that's one of the reasons you're so successful is because of the student-teacher ratio. That's great.
Which means we have to do a lot of fundraising because tuition alone will not take care of that with that few students. And our teachers teach for the love of it, not to get rich.
Of course. And scholarships? Do they offer scholarships?
Yes, we do.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And work exchange for parents who can offer time.
Oh, good.
Now, is it edforlife.org? Is that where we'd find that kind of information? Or is there a Living Wisdom School
at edforlife.org, you find a page that lists all of our schools and their websites. So then you could go to the individual school.
Okay.
And while we're on that subject.
Yes, while we're on that subject.
I just wanted to mention our newest school is in Slovenia, which is, one of the countries in Europe right now who's being deluged by refugees. So they're really in our thoughts, and the refugees and the country. And then the other is in Italy, which is so copacetic, Martha, because St. Francis, being the patron saint of your show and your work, our Italy school is, of course, in Assisi, where St. Francis lived and walked. And so it's a wonderful place to visit, as I told you before.
And there is an Ananda community in Assisi, too, is there not?
Yes, there's a small community and a very large retreat where people from all over Europe come.
And I believe our temple that is built here in Bothell, the design was based on the temple in Assisi.
Yes, it was modeled after that.
Am I right about that?
You're absolutely. It's very similar.
Now, Martha, I'd say we need to take a business trip.
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't be object to that.
Of course it'll be deductible.
Now, I do want to focus on and spend some time on our local school here, because the majority of our listeners are here locally, although we do have them all over the world and the country. But I think we're going to have to turn the hour around to go there. But we're talking about fundraising. I know one way, we have the Living Wisdom School, which is in Shoreline.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the ways that we generate some income for that Living Wisdom School is we have the Living Wisely Thrift Shop. And that's in Shoreline.
Yes.
And I doubt that supports the school by itself, but it certainly helps. So, folks, if you're interested in helping the cause here locally, it's the Living Wisely Thrift Shop in Shoreline. And, of course, Carol, one of our longtime Nyaswami Ananda members, runs the store. And, you can donate, your stuff there, but you can also go and get great deals and really wonderful stuff. And
totally appreciate donations. And if you Google it, it comes right up on the Google map.
All right.
And it's just not very far from our school, actually.
Cool. And of course, all of the stuff that's there comes with Master's Energy and everything. So, what better place to shop? And the holidays are coming up. So let's see. We have to cover. We're going to turn this hour around. I obviously have pushed current events towards the end of the show. But when we come back, let's focus on our local Living Wisdom School and everything that's going on here locally. And what levels are available and all of that sort of stuff. And of course, reiterate that anybody can put their kids in our school. You don't have to be a member of Ananda. But we'll find out all about that. And then I want to take some time to just, I know that you said, Usha, that the list of all the schools all around the world are on the edforlife.org website. But let's just touch base on every place there is a school and what levels are covered there. And then I think in addition to what more conversation we might want to have, if there are those of you out there that might have some questions for Usha while she's here or about the schools, we can entertain some phone calls. So stay right where you are. We've got another full hour to go. We are celebrating our childlike human animals, the Living Wisdom Schools, and Susan Usha Derman, author of Calm and Compassionate Children, a Handbook, is our guest. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.